Chapter 61. Daybreak found a dark pall over the St. Lawrence. Two of the critically injured had died, bringing the death toll to 12. The body of one of the missing divers washed up on the southern shore 6 miles downriver. The other man was never found. Numb with exhaustion and sick of heart, the crew of the Ocean Venturer lined the railings in silence as their dead were solemnly carried aboard the Phoenix for the voyage home. To some it was a bad dream that would eventually fade. For others, the tragedy would remain in vivid clarity forever. After Collins was extricated and hauled aboard with only 3 hours of breathable air left in his gym suit, Pitt closed down all further operations on the wreck. Metz reported that the engine room was reasonably dry and the Ocean Venturer was holding its own, the list now being only 10 degrees. The damage control specialists from the naval ships were released and the long hoses of their support pumps withdrawn. The research ship would make home port under its own power, but on only one engine. The propeller shaft of the other had been bent out of alignment. Pitt went down into the well deck area and donned a thermal suit. He tightened his weight belt and was adjusting the harness on his air tanks when Gunn came up to him. "You're going down," he said flatly. "After all that's happened, it would be criminal to leave without getting what we came for," Pitt replied. "Do you think it's wise to dive alone? Why not let Dunning and his men go with you?" "They're in no condition," said Pitt. "They went beyond repetitive dive limits bringing up the bodies. Their nitrogen buildup is excessive." Gunn knew he could have moved the Matterhorn with greater ease than he could budge a stubborn Dirk Pitt. He shrugged off the abortive attempt and made a grim face. "It's your funeral." Pitt grinned. "I appreciate the joyous send-off." "I'll keep an eye peeled on the monitors," said Gunn. "And if you're a bad boy and come home past curfew, I might even bring down the air bottles for your decompression stops myself." Pitt nodded a wordless thanks. Unexcitably patient, quiet, and unassuming, Gunn was the eternal insurance policy, the one who saw to the endless details overlooked by the rest. He never had to be asked. He planned with deep forethought and then simply accomplished what had to be done. Pitt adjusted his face mask, threw Gunn a casual salute, and dropped into the cold abyss. At 20 feet he rolled over on his back and gazed upward at the bottom of the Ocean Venturer, which hovered above like a great dark blimp. At 40 feet it faded into the murk and was gone. The world of sky and clouds seemed light-years away. The water was dense and opaque, a dull green. As the increasing pressure tightened around his body, Pitt felt a prodding desire to turn back, lie down on his back in the sun, take a long nap, and forget the whole thing. He shook off the temptation and switched on his dive light as the green dusk became black. Then the enormous ship materialized out of the gloom in 3 dimensions. An oppressive silence hung over the corpse of the Empress of Ireland. It was a phantom ship on a voyage to nowhere. Pitt swam over the steeply sloping lifeboat deck, past the portholes and the eerie interior of the cabins beyond. He reached the edge of the excavation pit and hesitated. The water was noticeably colder at this level. He watched his air bubbles issue from the breathing regulator and rise to the surface in little clusters, merging and expanding upward. He pointed the dive light at them, and they glistened like foam along a beach under a full moon. He let himself glide slowly into the man-made cavity. 50 feet down, he settled as weightlessly as a leaf into the bottom silt. He was in the mangled womb of Harvey Shield's cabin. An icy shiver ran down his spine. Not from the frigid water. His thermal suit kept him reasonably comfortable, but from the specters of his imagination. He saw the bones described by Collins. Unlike the bleached white and connected skeletons in medical school classrooms, they had turned a tobacco shade of brown and become separated. A mound of clutter had piled up in front of a small opening in the tangled steel behind the larger of the two skulls and was partly covered with mud. He moved in closer and began probing with his hands. He touched a limp, round object. He pulled it free, and a cloud of dust-like particles and tiny shreds of material billowed in front of his face mask. The object was an old life belt. He worked himself into the opening and tore at the rubble. The dive light was nearly useless. The swirling disturbance in the water stonewalled the beam and reflected it like a thick bank of fog. He came across a rusting straight razor and nearby a shaving mug. Then came a well-preserved shoe, an Oxford by the look of it, and a small medicine bottle. The top was still sealed and the contents untainted by the water. With the perseverance of an archaeologist sifting away the layers of time, Pitt explored the deteriorating junk with his fingers. He did not feel the cold seeping into his thermal suit. Without noticing, he had rubbed against sharp metal edges that sliced through the protective covering into his skin. Vapor-like trails of blood were issuing from several cuts on his back and legs. His heartbeat quickened when he thought he saw his goal protruding from the silt. It was the arched handle of a piece of luggage. He wrapped his hand around it and gave a gentle tug. The badly corroded locking mechanism of a large suitcase came free. He shook away his false optimism and kept probing. 2 feet beyond, his eyes spotted another hand grip. This one was smaller. He paused and checked his dive watch. 5 minutes of air were left. Gunn would be waiting. He took a long breath and slowly eased the hand grip out of the litter. Pitt found himself staring at the remnants of a small hand case. The leather sides and bottom, though badly rotted, were still intact. Almost afraid to hope, he pried the hinges apart. Inside was a muck-coated packet. Pitt knew instinctively that he held the North American Treaty.